Whistleblower Report, exposing lies, deceptions, and all that has assaulted our way of life. We must take back our freedom and live as God designed in a free America that honors our Constitution and our Creator. Our experts in medicine, ministry, law, military, environment, and education empower us to grow together as a nation. For such a time as this, the Whistleblower Report offers truth and solutions. Welcome to the Whistleblower Report legal segment. This is Dr. Lee for America, and Todd Callender, international attorney, and I are going to be discussing what's really going on in Ohio that affects our life, our freedom, and is more indication of the assault on the United States from enemies within. This is a show you don't want to miss. The Ohio land grab under the EPA's Superfund legislation tied in with the damage to people from the COVID shots and the dioxin exposures that the EPA's own documents clearly show comes with combustion of aromatic hydrocarbons that have been halogenated with chlorine, bromine, fluorine, any of the halogens. So consequently, we are looking at a combined assault on the land, declaring it uninhabitable under the EPA Superfund legislation, which our international attorney, Todd Callender, is going to explain in detail for all of us to understand exactly how they are using this legislation to further undermine individual liberty, individual private property rights, which Todd and I have both been talking about for years as part of the Agenda 2030, elimination of private property rights, elimination of borders, and depopulation. What's going on right here in our own country in East Palestine, Ohio, and the surrounding farmland agricultural area, a lot of Amish farms as well. And this is another way the Biden administration can undermine the strength of the Amish community while moving hardworking Americans, rural Americans, off their land, away from their homes, into a 15-minute city. And that is the Agenda 2030 deceptive name for what Todd and I are calling a 15-minute prison. You don't want to miss this. Todd, welcome to the Whistleblower Report. Thank you for being with us. So take it away. Talk to us about what you see as the 100,000-foot view on what's really going on, this combined assault on people and the land and our freedom.
Yeah, great. Thank you for having me, Doctor. There's a lot to be discussed on this. As you and I have spoken about many times, the agenda for the 21st century is a United Nations convention, a multilateral agreement, effectively a treaty amongst pretty much all of the nations on this planet, I think, except for North Korea and perhaps Cuba. I haven't looked recently if both of them ever agreed to it. But there are some really notable parts to it that are easy to understand. In fact, there's three of them. Number one is the elimination of private property rights. Number two is the elimination of borders, meaning the elimination of sovereignty in furtherance of a one world regulator, one world market, one world government. And then lastly, a 95% reduction in the world's population. And more recently, people are calling it Agenda 2030 because it incorporates the 1992 Rio Climate Accords, whereby the environment is used as the excuse and as a predicate to effectuating the goals. And throughout the COVID experience, we've seen elements of all three of those planks of this platform set into motion. If you think about the climate lockdowns, not the kind they actually were, the COVID lockdowns, the government picked the winners and losers. You could go and get liquor from the store, but you couldn't go to church. You could go to Target or Walmart, but you couldn't go to the family department stores. Same thing happened in food. Certain grocery stores were allowed to survive and others were not. And that was all in furtherance of this master plan towards a single market, a single currency, a single regulator that is largely in place already in form of the Organization for Economic and Cooperative Development. So while the United States has been blissfully watching football and gorging ourselves on hot dogs and hamburgers, the whole rest of the world has already had all their life, their laws harmonized, including the environmental ones. And so you can see from a legal perspective that this has been laid out very carefully over the last 40 or 50 years. And the inclusion of the environment as another excuse to take people's property, right? You'll own nothing. Another excuse to eliminate borders. It's all about the environment. Now we're talking about environmental lockdowns in place of COVID lockdowns. And we hear things about 15-minute cities. If you went to a search engine and you typed in Agenda 21 map, what you will find is that in furtherance of the Agenda 21, the Agenda 2030 goals, they are entirely dependent upon moving people out of the countryside and into the cities. And in fact, that's their goal is the 15-minute city. They want everybody packed into these little teeny areas, and then they're going to rewild all the rest of the land in this weird communist utopian society they're planning on or trying to make now. And CERCLA is actually part of that. It's a law that came in under Jimmy Carter. It's called the Comprehensive Environmental Response Compensation and Liability Act. And effectively, that's what put the EPA, the Environmental Protection Administration, on steroids. It gave them extraordinarily large powers for two things. Number one, if you can believe it or not, it's the protection of the public health. Or where have we seen that one before? And the environment. So anything that may have some effect on public health or environment is fair game. And imagine how far that reaches. In fact, we don't have to imagine very much, because here we have this toxic spill in Ohio amongst many others. And of course, the EPA is swooping in right now. The short story as it relates to CERCLA in Ohio is this: that the government will have the opportunity and propensity, in fact, to go and nationalize. They will seize and forfeit these lands with the slightest bit of contamination. Joint and several liability tends to attach, whereby there will be a cleanup cost that's supposed to be funded by fuel and chemical taxes. Of course, we pay for those. But anything short of complete, how do you call it? I guess is reclamation. That's the word I'm looking for. Still results in presumptive property buyers having that continuing liability, but also joint and several liability amongst the prior property holders. It's what's called an in rem action. So the government is going against the property itself without regard to the people around it. It's kind of like when you hear about civil asset forfeiture claims where somebody's driving down the highway, they've got $10,000 in cash, the cop pulls them over. They take the $10,000 because the guy can't explain where it came from, not to the satisfaction of the police, and they confiscate the money. A crime may never even be charged, but yet the government ends up with the money. This is the same kind of theory, and it's really ending up in the confiscation and the movement of people into these 15-minute cities in furtherance of the goals of Agenda 21.
Well, that is very chilling. What recourse do the homeowners and agricultural landowners even have when the government comes in? It's very similar. It's analogous to what I've been concerned about happening to the poultry farmers. The USDA comes in, checks a few birds and says, with a PCR test, which isn't reliable anyway, for humans, much less birds, hens, chickens. And so then they say, well, you've got avian flu, so we have to shut you down. You have to slaughter 10 million chickens. I mean, this is just, this government is out of control. So are you saying, to clarify for our audience, are you saying that the government can just simply come in and in this in rem action, take the land without any recourse for the homeowners and landowners?
Yeah, the recourse is difficult because in rem actions, once a property, whether that's real or personal property, is confiscated, the burden of proof shifts to it's now on you to prove that you're an innocent owner. And CERCLA in Section 107B actually talks about the types of defenses a person could show by preponderance of the evidence. You'd have to prove that the contamination was solely caused, operative word here, solely, act of God, act of war, or the acts or omissions of a third party. And it's very difficult because the burden is on you and you're going up against the government. It's what makes it very difficult. So there's these innocent landowner defenses. But at the end of the day, what you tend to find is that the government will compensate fairly or not is really not the point. They give you whatever it is you get. And then they will clean up the property to their satisfaction, again, with joint and several liability, and then they will sell it. And then there is still this this cloud over top of the new property holders and whether or not they acquired this property subject to further remediation. And that's where part of the innocent owner defense comes in, is that if you were to buy a piece of this property and then there's contamination found after you bought it, you're right back into the same place. So it's really about confiscation more than anything. If you were even to inherit this, you know, that's one of the defenses under the section I cited. But it's something called continuous property owner's liability because it runs with the land.
How does one take out a policy like that? Continuous property owner's liability?
Yes, I'm not talking about buying it. That's what I'm saying is that when people, for instance, buy a piece of real property, you would find that there may be easements and covenants that go with that property. Covenants run with the land, meaning everybody that buys it subject to those covenants.
Right.
And oftentimes the easements, particularly if they're public easements. And really what they're saying by virtue of CERCLA liability, the super fund is what they call it, is that the property runs with this potential liability to it, unless you fall into really three categories of a defense, the innocent owner defense.
So that sounds pretty ominous for the people of Ohio.
So who would want this land, right? Who would want this land? Who would want to buy this property, even if it was cleaned up, knowing full well that at a later time, you know, the slightest amount of contamination, dioxin, for example, what is it? 1/1,000,000th of a gram is enough to be fatal, something like that.
Correct me no, if I'm it's wrong, more, like, but, more like 1/1,000,000,000th of a gram.
Okay. So how hard would that to be to find one particle of dioxin on your property and then be subject to, you know, cleanup costs being assessed to you? So who in their right mind would want to buy such a property? There's something I saw an article the other day, something like 1,200 square miles just in the immediate facility of the Ohio spill, which most certainly has, in light of your testimony, in fact, that there's contaminants, including dioxin. Who would want to have that land forevermore? And my point to you is that in the case of Agenda 2030 and Agenda 21, they don't want anybody on the property. They want to rewild it forever, that humankind shall no longer be allowed to leave the city centers. So any toxic spill will do. Right, that'll do the job. And when you understand exactly what the goal of the enterprise is, then you can start to see other places where you would find this, you know, along train tracks, let's say that, you know, airplanes are flying over and spraying something that looks like chemtrails. Well, we already know that there's barium and aluminum and other things in there. Because these actions are against the property, you don't have to prove somebody had a hand in it. That's what IMREM actions are. It's N-I-N-REM, R-E-M. Look it up for yourself. That's a legal case against the property itself without regard to anybody's personal liability. So I think that they're really marking out the planet in this fashion to reserve onto themselves, them being the permanent bureaucracy, the one world regulators, moving people into city centers with a minimum of rights, and whatever food and resources the government plans on giving to them. And that's how communist societies work, right? The government is the all-powerful. The government replaces our God. They become the God. At least that's what they seek to do.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's why every Marxist and communist revolution in history has gone after the organized church to undermine people's ability to maintain a connection with their creator and turn everyone dependent on government for the basics of life. To the extent that they decide you can live, you will have access to limited food. And that's what's happening already with the sabotage of the food processing plants across America. And one of the, in 2022, when we first began hearing these strange events damaging food processing plants, you know, a small plane crashes into a food processing plant and the whole thing blows up.
Right.
Other sabotage that was happening. The first plants that were damaged and closed were non-GMO food manufacturing plants. So they were going after the enemy as the owners. You call them the owners, and I think that's a good term, global predators, owners who want to control everything for themselves and want to eliminate the rest of us. They don't want anything that isn't genetically modified that they control changing.
That's right.
And we just did a discussion with Dr. Eden, who is in Canterbury, England. Dr. Mike Eden has firsthand described the 15-minute city that Canterbury, England has become.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can't buy things without approval, and you're not supposed to move more than 15 minutes outside of your prescribed area.
It's a 15 minute prison.
Exactly right. And
so that's, I was going to say, doctor, think about this one, because what you said is really important, that now the food supply is under attack. And what you said was that this was natural food, that you're talking about non-GMO food. Which makes perfect sense. You wouldn't want your prisoners to have proper nutrition, now would you?
Exactly. And not only that, but going after the hens, the egg-laying hens.
Sure.
Eggs are not only one of the most nutritious foods, particularly for low-income people, but also they are the source of the substrate that they've used to make traditional vaccines. So by destroying the poultry farms and egg-laying hens, I mean, there have been tens of millions of hens slaughtered in the United States in the past year and a half. And egg prices going through the roof. And people are puzzled as to why suddenly egg prices are going up. Well, it has nothing to do with climate change. It has to do with government destruction of the poultry farmers and the facilities that produce all of the eggs that we've been so blessed to have over my adult life.
Sure. And I mean, if you go back to the goals of the exercise, doesn't that also make perfect sense? Right. That you would you wouldn't want people to have the availability of a traditional vaccine that actually showed some efficacy. You'd be forcing these mRNA gene modification shots on people. So what you're saying makes perfect sense to me when you juxtapose it to the goals of the enterprise.
Well, exactly right. And as you have pointed out, and we can talk more about this in the second half, but as you have talked about in other programs we've done, that the Supreme Court in 2013 ruled that genetic modification of an organism, it could be plants, could be mice, and your point is it could be humans, that are genetically modified become chattel property of the patent holder. So
That's
you
right.
can talk more about that as it relates to the COVID shots. They are gene modifiers.
That's right. And you know, doctor, as part of this experience in filing suit against the government, you know, we had found that one of the defendants, in our case, that's the Health and Human Services Administration, now has what's called a SynBio division. So they are in the process of endorsing, helping, researching the genetic modification, the genetic manipulation of every single plant and animal species on this planet. That's what our tax dollars are doing.
Again, I just find it very chilling. And, you know, Todd, from a spiritual standpoint and a biblical standpoint, we may be moving into an era when, like the time of Noah,
yes,
when God cleansed the earth of the evil.
That's right.
By flooding the entire earth.
Well, this is the funny part about that. It's prophetic. I mean, the double entendre is intentional, because of the statements that we discovered in our research was that the owners intend to genetically modify every plant and animal species on the planet for the purpose of spiting God. So this is biblical in every sense of the word. The owners are Luciferians or Satanists. And those of us who would like to be wheat and harvested as such in the Bible are fighting to preserve God's creations, including ourselves, our own bodily integrity.
No, it's true. And in fact, in a very, very disturbing interview for the vaccine report on the Whistleblower Report, which aired this week earlier, Dr. Jancy Lindsay talked about the knowledge that sperm are modified by the men who have had the COVID shot. Their sperm is being genetically modified. And what that means is that when that sperm, and to the parallel in women, the gametes, ova, are also being modified by the COVID shot in the women who are in their reproductive years who have been vaccinated with the COVID shot. So for those people in their reproductive years, men and women, and of course men make sperm their whole lives, so men have a reproductive lifespan from puberty until essentially late life at the end of life. Women have all the follicles they will ever have. They are born with them and they slowly lose them over time. So once women reach menopause, they are no longer reproductive. But that means that men have been vaccinated. Their sperm is now genetically altered. And so they will be siring children who are transgenic humans.
Yes. Well, my understanding, doctor, from yourself and a lot of other doctors who are advising us, is that the genetic modification from the shots begins within 6 hours of receiving it. So the result of that is in vivo and in vitro genetic modification.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So listeners, please pay attention to what we're talking about. this is not speculation. It is underway. Genetic modification of plants has already been done for years. Genetic modification of animals, transgenic mice, for example, and other transgenic forms of animals have been created for research. And let's face it, everyone who's bought a purebred pet is dealing with genetically modified animals. I mean, they are the breeds that are created and are bred for certain features. So they are also genetically modified. This is not new. And now we're seeing it for humans with the COVID shots that alter our human genome. And that has been well documented. And that was one of the goals of the COVID shot. So we need to understand this is already underway. Pretending it isn't there doesn't change the reality that it is happening. The confiscation of land in the Western United States has been going on under the federal government land grabs for decades. Many of the Western states, Arizona, Nevada, Utah, Colorado, Montana, Wyoming, all of them have been in limited ways fighting against the federal government confiscation of their state land. Now we're seeing the beginning of another land grab in the rich agricultural area of East Palestine, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, in the areas that have been subject to the toxic smoke plume from the detonation of the rail cars containing hazardous chemicals, including vinyl chloride. And that, according to the EPA's own documents, produces an incontrovertible combustion byproduct in the family called dioxins and furans, of which TCDD is the most toxic of the dioxin family. And that was known as Agent Orange, causing damage in the Vietnam War. Damage to the environment, damage to the Vietnamese people, and damage to all of our military fighting in Vietnam exposed to Agent Orange. We'll be talking more about all of these critical topics in the second half. Stay tuned. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back. Check out the Whistleblower Report every day, Monday through Friday, right here on America Out Loud Talk Radio, 12 noon and 12 midnight Eastern Time, and our website, truthforhealth.org, and Todd Callender's website, vaxxchoice.com. We will be right back. Welcome back to the Whistleblower Report. This is Dr. Lee for America, here with attorney Todd Callender, international attorney, business law, disability rights law, and the CEO of an international insurance group. So he has a unique business and legal perspective on all that's going on globally right now and how this is playing out across America with the major power grab being undertaken by the global elites, global predators, using the puppet President Joe Biden and those in the shadow government in the United States, taking our government in rogue actions against the American people. America, it is time to raise your hand, raise your voice, and get involved in your community to take back our country from the demonic and totalitarian forces that are determined to destroy us. Todd, go ahead with some of the things that you were talking about with the big picture on how the EPA is using the Superfund CERCLA legislation and toxic substances and disease registry legislation to force evacuation from those areas following the Ohio train derailment and detonation of all the toxic chemicals.
Yeah, good. Well, let's start with it doesn't matter, you know, in terms of liability, whether there was any intent to do wrong. So our criminal law statutes, when they apply, have a requirement, an element of the crime is that you had some form of intent to commit it. None of that applies here. The EPA attaches what's called strict liability. There are strict liability crimes, even in this particular case. This is about the property and its contamination. Clearly, if it was done intentionally, then there would be considered a crime. But for purposes of liability, it matters not. It's simply that the act happened. And so when you look at the amendments that came down, first and foremost, liability attaches from contamination without regard to who did it, really. Second comes the assessment of cost to cleanup. And then after that comes this continuing liability that runs with the land that makes it an unattractive investment for most people. There are certain funds that will buy these things. They call them brownfields. However, those tend to come as a result of other government agencies. So in the years after, I think it was in 2018 or so, there was a few amendments to the CERCLA Act. In fact, there's one that just blows me away. If you can imagine, in more recent times, you would have heard it. It's the 2018 Better Utilization of Investments Leading to Development Act, otherwise known as the BUILD Act. When last did we hear Mr. Biden saying build back better, you know, in a cacophony of other world leaders doing the same? And that's because all of the different nations that signed on to the Rio Climate Accords in 1992 have the exact same kind of laws. So this isn't just a U.S. enterprise. This is a global enterprise to take money and make the government all powerful. So there are exemptions under the BUILD Act whereby state and local governments can acquire the property without that continuing liability going forward, certain circumstances that seem to be expanding. And it makes perfect sense when you understand the enterprise, the Agenda 21 enterprise, is to move everybody, people, into city centers and re-wilderness the rest of the planet. And they talk about building back better. That's because they're talking about, you know, stuffing everybody into a 15 square mile city, and nowhere else shall they go, along with, you know, bugs for food and symbio products. But I just, it strikes me as being so obvious that in 2018 is when this push really started happening. And I don't think it's incidental that public health is another one of these rationales for confiscation. If you look at the public health laws, they're so expansive, it's mere suspicion of a communicable disease is enough to lock you up indefinitely, as a matter of fact. And when you look at the statutes, they talk about prescribing involuntary treatment, and it doesn't matter if it's experimental or not. You and I have spoken at length about these mRNA shots that are completely experimental, and yet they were mandated on the military and others. Think of the environmental situation to be much the same. There's mere suspicion alone. You know, that's enough to start the legal process. And when I say the EPA is all powerful, over the last few years, we've seen the EPA grabbing water too. In most states, it's illegal for the homeowner to collect their own rainwater. Why? Because it's a resource, and the government cannot control you unless they control all of the resources, which includes the money supply. Yeah, cash is portable, cash is anonymous, and you can spend it on whatever you want to so long as there's somebody willing to take it. Well, along comes central bank digital currency, right? The digits in your phone will now be your medium of exchange, and it's programmable money. You need not look further than China to see how it works. People can't travel more than 5 kilometers from their home, or their money won't work. If they had too much meat in a particular week or month, well, your money won't work for that either. So when you understand the big picture, which is an anti-human picture, it's based on a Soviet model economy that eliminates choices and eliminates competition. And it stuffs everybody into these, really, they're 15-minute prisons in selected areas across the planet. it becomes fairly obvious. And as I mentioned in the last section, you know, if you can look it up, I urge you to do that. Go to whatever browser you use and type in Agenda 21 map, and you will find that there are designated city centers. I happen to live in the Caribbean, and looking at our city centers, where I live is no longer going to be allowed. It will be a rewilded area. And if I want to live in the Caribbean, I'll be forced to live in Puerto Rico. I don't think it's coincidental that the Prime Minister of Barbados about a month ago said that she wanted to station two military rescue ships, one at the northern part of the Caribbean and one at the southern, to pick up the survivors. Yet she failed to describe what those survivors are surviving. What event, you know, if she didn't say, just that she's anticipating survivors needing help. And I don't doubt for a single moment that this will be another man-made catastrophe designed to drive people into these city centers where they'll receive the help that the government chooses to give them. They don't want self-sufficiency. They don't want us out on our own farmland because we can feed ourselves. So it's a horrible anti-human campaign that we're in the middle of, Doctor.
And that's why we keep doing our best to wake people up. What are the steps and actions that you've created through Vax Choice and we are working with you on through Truth for Health Foundation to help give people the tools to stand against this massive assault on our life, our homes, our land, our freedom, our money, all of the things that all of us have worked hard to build over our lifetimes are now threatened with the government grab, the government takeover of everything.
Yeah.
What are your suggestions?
There's a few things we've been, I hate to say it this way, but we've been preaching it for some time, hoping that we'll get somebody to pay attention and it won't fall on deaf ears. You know, we've worked together for the last couple of years on this, actually, and you've done a very remarkable job, and I very much appreciate, for instance, publishing our criminal complaint. We did that in 2020 at some point that outlaid everything that we saw going wrong with COVID, including experimental shots, the motivation to poison people and genetically modify them. It's all there in varying respects, and that this was a plan. The benefit of doing that is in the first month, we had 20,000 downloads. We know they were filed across the United States in six different countries, and albeit not one government entity, not one law enforcement entity decided to charge anybody pursuant to these criminal complaints that people filed. What it did do was get them thinking. And for instance, one was filed in Los Angeles County, and Sheriff Villanueva assigned a detective to look at it and read it. And came back and said, yeah, I see what you're saying, but we don't think we have the jurisdiction to do it. They did have the jurisdiction, by the way, but they said this is more of a International Court of Justice thing. But it doesn't matter, because in the end, when the order came down from the governor of California to Sheriff Villanueva to vaccinate, I use that term loosely, all of his staff, he refused. He said no. Why? Because they had it in their head that maybe there's another side of the story. Maybe it wasn't an escaped bug from Wuhan. Maybe this was planned. Maybe those experimental shots, you know, aren't here to help us. Maybe they're here to genetically modify us. So one of those steps I'm talking about is download that complaint, make your own complaint, go to your law enforcement and make friends with them. Have a talk with them, buy them a cup of coffee, because the order will come down, whether it's to confiscate your property or whether it's to put you into a quarantine center or to force vaccinate, again, term used loosely, it's people that have to effectuate that, right? Somebody's taking orders. And when law enforcement comes to the understanding that they no longer work for the American people, they no longer have a constitution that they swore an oath to, that they're actually working for Klaus Schwab, they're working for Tedros Adhanom, they may choose not to enforce those laws. And our rules, our laws in the United States allow for something called prosecutorial judgment, that they have the discretion as to whether they choose to enforce a law or not. And that's our key. If we can help people in uniform, whether that's National Guard or whether that's your local police or sheriff's deputies, make a relationship with them, help them understand what's going on, because you know what? None of us are safe. Their families are marked for execution too. They will be faced or forced, I should say, into these 15-minute cities should they survive the onslaught. And we can get together collectively and refuse. We can opt out.
I think that is so critical. And we took your criminal complaint templates and put that on our website as well to help more people know that it's there. And filing the citizens' complaints is really critically important. We have people, military members, for example, who filed pro se criminal complaints. One is going forward in the Army Court of Criminal Appeals, and there have been others that have filed pro se complaints. I know you are aware of someone named Pritish Bora who has filed a pro se complaint, and you might want to tell people what he did. And then Pascal Najati in Switzerland filed a criminal complaint himself with his local police, and that is moving forward to the attorney general, who has filed and opened an investigation against the president of Switzerland. And then we know the case that the Brunson brothers filed that went, a pro se case that they filed that made it to the Supreme Court. So it is possible to have citizens take these actions.
That's right. You know, doctor, this is exactly the point. So, you know, in our case, Robert V. Austin, it's still alive, and it's only alive, in my view, because of the genetic modification allegations that were never denied by the Department of Justice, Department of Defense, Health and Human Services, or the FDA. We've been litigating this for almost 2 years. Never once have they denied that allegation that these are gene modification that results in the vaccinated people belonging to the patent holders and therefore violating the 13th Amendment, the anti-slavery amendment to our Constitution. However, you know, when the National Defense Authorization Act ordered the military, the DOD, to rescind the vaccine mandate, it wasn't our case. There was a lot of other ones that filed suit too. It was hundreds of thousands of service members that downloaded templates, they collaborated with each other, and they filed every kind of a paper you can imagine, one of those inspector general complaints, exemptions, Article 138s, and as you just mentioned, criminal complaints. The result was they papered the Department of Defense so heavily that it required too much time to respond to all the exemptions that people have enumerated rights. And somebody had to arbitrate those rights, even if it was just clerical. They effectively wore out the DOD, and we can do that in a much broader way. Everybody has a right to use our courts, right? It's the courts aren't for lawyers, they're for the people. You don't need a lawyer. You just have to make a colorable claim. Go and research what the grievance is and file it, whether that's civil or criminal. It really doesn't make any difference. What does matter is you're educating everybody around you. If you file one of these complaints, it has to be investigated. If the government doesn't respond to it, it's deemed admitted. So why wouldn't you do this? If everybody did this en masse, we would have a whole lot of default judgments that we could execute on and stop this nonsense. So I think that's something that can be done globally. People take up the charge, do things properly and legally. These are your rights to assert, not anybody else's.
And in addition to asserting your rights and taking action in the courts, there are many other examples of citizen actions. We just had a group of 8 Christian men in Maine decide that they had had enough of the school boards deciding to groom their children into the transgender ideology without the parents' consent and without even the parents' knowledge. And they went to the school board and stood against this agenda of transgender grooming of children in schools without parental consent. That's one example of many. Taking back our medical freedom, not complying with this push towards vaccination for everything under the sun. Most of the vaccines people are being pushed to get now aren't even medically needed. Influenza is a very treatable medical illness if you treat it early. Shingles is treatable. You treat it early. We've got the antiviral medicines. You don't need to risk what's in the shots for shingles or flu or RSV or anything else, especially since the FDA is now saying that they're not going to disclose the ingredient changes and the change in technology from traditional vaccines to mRNA platforms. So other thoughts along those lines, Todd?
Sure. Well, you can see it coming, doctor. Of late, we've been hearing a whole lot about, you know, brand new Marburg vaccines. Well, it's hardly a surprise given that the PrEP Act that provided immunity to the makers of the shots, inter alia, meaning among others. These people are out there spending the Marburg money, meaning Marburg was a funding mechanism in the PrEP Act. That money has already been spent. It was spent in 2021. Spent on what? Building quarantine centers and building new mRNA vaccines for Marburg. So odds are pretty good that there's a Marburg pandemic coming. In fact, there's one that's broken out in Africa already. My point in saying that is that we know that public health was moved under the WHO, and the enforcement part of that was moved under the U.S. Department of Defense, under the Defense Health Agency, in fact, and now there is an entire corps of military doctors and health professionals that are uniformed, and by the way, comprise 50% of the CDC. Most people don't know that. The point is that mere suspicion alone of a communicable disease, whether that's CERCLA or otherwise, will result in the military being the ones enforcing the doctrine of the WHO. And we just saw last week that the international health regulations were adjusted and being adjusted further to eliminate any protections for human rights. Well, why would they do that? And I think it goes back in many respects to what it was that I've alleged in our suit. We're saying that by virtue of these shots, the synthetic product, meaning the vaccinated people, are in all likelihood, and according to existing U.S. law, a new species. What rights do they enjoy? Is that why the international health regulations removed the adherence to human rights? Is it to address non-humans as well? We don't know the answer to that question, but what we do know is there is a march towards totalitarianism. And unless people confront this, and then frankly, they have to embrace this reality in order to fight it, unless we get people to understand this, to take it seriously, we're not going to stop this, doctor. We've got to stand together, all of humanity together. And that includes the CERCLA thing. Why would we take this lying down? Go and talk to your people, file your grievances, stop them in advance if you can, and tell them you know what's coming. We know it's Marburg or hemorrhagic fever of some kind because you already spent the money. Somebody made a declaration that there was a Marburg pandemic, and that's how they spent the money. So if you call them out on it, if you raise awareness, I think we can embarrass them back into their corners.
Well, that certainly is what we're all working very hard to help happen. You know, you started working with us in April and May of 2022, almost a year ago, to alert people that we knew that they were planning this Marburg as the next pandemic because you pointed out the legal point you just made again today. They've already invoked the Marburg provisions of the PrEP Act, and they've already spent money to create quarantine detention facilities in a number of U.S. states. We knew that last year. We knew that Marburg was a typical hemorrhagic fever virus that creates frightening images they could use to the weapon of fear to control people. And we also knew that 5G radiation transmitters could be altered in their frequency to create many of the same symptoms that appear with the hemorrhagic fevers. And so we started doing the programs for Faith Over Fear with you leading off that series about what was coming. And people still don't believe it. So America, believe it. God has given you the legal framework that's been in place since the Population Accords in Egypt in 1994, the Rio Accords. What year was that, Todd?
1992,
even before the Population Accords. And then the 2005 International Health Regulatory Agreement with 196 nations. Believe it. 196 nations signed it in 2005. We are on the slippery slope to losing our freedom forever. It is time to stand up. Todd, your closing words.
Well, I would ask people to look around them, because one of the ways that you and I met was rescuing people from the hospitals. And we together came to find that there was an amalgamation of public health, corrections, law enforcement, and the judiciary, because we couldn't get people out. The hospital staff were effectively part of law enforcement. And everybody knows someone that was trapped in a hospital and probably killed in that hospital, given midazolam, respirator, remdesivir. Everybody's aware of that. So if you don't believe they're coming to get you, look around. Your government isn't here to help you. They are here to kill you. Right? That's part of this goal. And until people can wake up and understand that, we're walking right into the fire.
We are. And that's why the Whistleblower Report brings you truth and hope and solutions to help combat the lies and deceptions. America, President Obama made it legal under the revisions of the Smith-Mundt Act that his administration revised in 2012. He made it legal for our government to lie to you, for our government to use propaganda like the Soviets did during the Russian Revolution that began after 1917 and continued into the communist era of Soviet control. The media is doing propaganda campaigns to deceive you about the real agendas. That is why you need to share the Whistleblower Report with your friends, family, networks, speak up in your communities, stand up in your churches that have become arms of the public health government agency instead of answering to God's truth. And let's say no. Just say no. The old campaign to stop drug use years ago applies right now. Just say no to government tyranny. Todd, thank you for being with us again today. You have been a tireless, tireless warrior on the legal and medical front and the international business front to alert people to the enormity of this totalitarian vice that is closing tighter every day. I can't thank you enough. I'm grateful for all I've learned working with you, and grateful that we can share our efforts in this fight to save humanity. America, listen, believe it. This is truth against the lies and deception. Tune in every day, Monday through Friday, 12 noon and 12 midnight Eastern time, for more on the Whistleblower Report. And we will be back again tomorrow. Check out our website, truthforhealth.org. Learn all you need to know to stay out of the hospital and save your life. Learn what you need to do to file criminal complaints. Take action. Download our vaccine injury treatment guide and look at all of the tools you have to take back your medical freedom, your life, your property, and stand up against government tyranny. We'll see you again tomorrow. God bless you all, and may God have mercy on us. And as we fight to maintain one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all, free of tyranny.